Chapter 5. There wasn't any time to think or plan. I shot at the dinosaur at the entrance and hit it just above the right eye socket as it started to charge. The dino stumbled, and I quickly pulled the trigger to lodge another bullet into its brain. The hide on its skull was clearly thick as fuck, but the sharp bullets had no problem tearing through it. Blood poured out of the bullet holes, and the dino's huge head flopped around as the creature crashed to the ground with a heavy thud. I spun around to join in the fight against the rest of the herd. Half of the dinos seemed determined to stay put and block our way to the crafts, and the others made various attempts to charge at full speed toward us.
"Hey, Juan!" I yelled. "We'll cover you! Can you get inside that opening?"
The Korean beauty started to back away from the fight as she shot at the dinos with her sharp gun, and she looked over her shoulder at the gap in the wall as the construction sheet flapped in the wind.
"I can do it!"
she shouted.
"I can jump through, but it might be noisy."
"I think that's already a problem,"
I replied, as the sound of dino bodies hitting the floor echoed out over the concrete. The herd seemed invested in blocking our way into the crafts, and they threw their heads back as they roared and stomped their thick feet. The girls had already taken down one of the beasts, and it looked like there were about 7 of them left. We needed to get inside before others came to check out what the noise was, and Hae-won slowly began to break off from the group. Then there was a mechanical whirring noise above me, and I glanced up to see the security camera move. It seemed to have adjusted to watch us, and I waved up at the lens.
"Hey!"
I yelled as I took aim at another one of the horned dinos.
"Hey, let us inside!"
"Who are you talking to?"
Becca shrieked as one of the dinos broke into a charge right toward her. I shot 3 bullets into the side of the horned bastard's face for good measure, and its eyeballs both erupted with blood.
"The security camera's moving," I told the girls. "Someone's watching."
As Hae-won started to sneak off to the unfinished construction work, one of the dinos clocked her. The beast charged at a horrifying speed toward her, and I shot at it as Kat did the same. The creature had raced so far forward that Hae-won had to leap sideways as it fell, and the massive dino crashed face first into the wooden wall as debris fell down onto its lifeless body. As more of the herd started to leave the ships and charge at us, I heard the doorway swing open with a creak.
"Go!"
I yelled, without turning to see who had opened it for us.
"Now!"
Hae-won was closest to the door and raced inside as the rest of the girls followed. Leo took 1 final shot into a dino's skull before he ran off, and I made sure to kill the closest one to me before I turned to run as well. The entranceway was dark, and I couldn't see anything inside as we sprinted toward the building. Sweat dripped down the back of my neck as I glanced over my shoulder, and I saw 3 remaining dinos hurtle toward us. I stayed a step behind the others to make sure they made it inside, and the second I dove into the doorway, it was slammed shut. The floor was cold, and my hip banged painfully against it as I landed. Then I scrambled to my feet as the thundering footsteps outside skidded to a halt, and the dinosaurs let out their chilling roars. We were inside a massive circular room with marble floors and wooden beams which covered the ceiling. There were wooden pillars around the room, and a desk stood on one end of the large room that had clearly once been a reception for the visitor center. It looked like there was a curved ramp leading up to the next floor, and there were a few muddied brochures that had been scattered all over the floor. I swung my gun around to a figure beside us and saw it was a man who was probably in his 30s. He had a thin, tanned face and dark stubble. His brown eyes were wide behind round glasses, and he wore dark jeans with a black shirt.
"Who are you?"
I asked, and the guy flung his hands up into a surrender pose. He didn't speak, and his eyes were fixed on Adhara and Leo.
I work here,"
he eventually stammered, and there was a hint of French in his English accent.
"You're a scientist?"
I asked.
"I'm an engineer," he said slowly. "It's just me and 1 physicist left. We have nothing to give you."
"We're not robbing you,"
Becca snorted. With a quick glance up and down, it was pretty easy to see the guy wasn't a threat, and I lowered my gun as the rest of the group slowly did the same.
"I expected them to headbutt the door,"
I sighed as I looked over at the entranceway. "They easily could have."
The Cosmoceratops are smart, the engineer said. His voice sounded almost robotic as he spoke, and I could tell the guy was exhausted as his hands shook. They know everyone comes out of here eventually, and everyone who does ends up crushed or chewed up. I'm Jason, I said. This is Kat, Haywan, Becca, Edhara, and Leo. The man nodded as I pointed out each person, and his eyes snapped back to the aliens.
What's going on? He asked, and his voice cracked. Ah, are you alien life forms? Are you from another planet?
Yes, Leo shrugged. Is this problem?
The poor engineer looked like he had never been asked a more difficult question in his life, and he opened his mouth, but no words came out.
Edhara and Leo are from another planet, I explained. I know you probably have a million questions, but maybe we can walk and talk. We're kind of on a time crunch here.
Oh, sure,
the man said with a harried chuckle and a forced shrug.
Dinosaurs came back from the dead. Why not have aliens walking around planet Earth?
Thank you for welcome,
Edhara nodded.
I walk here for a while now.
The engineer shook his head in disbelief, but then he gestured for us to follow him, and we headed toward the curved ramp.
I don't trust the lifts, he said as we passed an elevator. There isn't exactly anyone we can call if it breaks down.
That's reasonable, I nodded.
So this place is like a tourist center?
Basically, the man said. There's different exhibitions each year and fun stuff for kids to do. They have loads of conferences and corporate events, too.
Well, they used to.
It's strange to talk about normal life in the past tense.
There were a few boards on the wall which advertised upcoming events and exhibits. And as we got halfway up the ramp, the engineer pushed open a side door which was labeled Staff Only. He led us through a room that was full of neatly stacked boxes of brochures and files, and there was a decaying plant on top of one of the cabinets.
I'm Mateo, by the way, the engineer said. I've worked here for about 5 years.
Well, I don't exactly work here anymore. We just got trapped over here.
Have you been here since the start?
Haywan asked.
Well, Mateo said, originally I was over at Building 33, just over the roundabout.
We saw that as we landed, I replied. It looked like it had been hit by dinos pretty badly.
Unfortunately, the engineer said with a nod. That's why we came over to the dome. None of the creatures seemed very interested in getting inside. I have a theory that they don't recognize it as a building.
Maybe, I agreed. But what I didn't add was that it probably wouldn't take too long for them to figure it out.
Anyway, Mateo sighed. It was quiet around here at first. A few of the dinosaurs passed by, but none of them stayed for long. Then they seemed to have some kind of upgrade. It was like overnight they just worked out that the base was full of people, and they came in herds.
Did they get into Building 33?
Kat asked, and Mateo nodded again.
Some of the smaller ones managed, the engineer replied. Enough of them to drive us out. I managed to get in here with a couple of others. I couldn't believe we made the short run.
I know what you mean, I muttered. I've never seen so many in one place before. There must be hundreds out there.
At least, Mateo said. There were about 50 people in here at the start of it all. Some left before things got really bad out there. But I've heard the sound of so many people being caught.
The engineer shivered, and I didn't ask any more questions about his previous co-workers. We went through another doorway, and there was an unpleasant stench of rotten food. There was a small kitchenette with a vending machine, and the front glass had been removed along with all the food. I glanced at the sink in the corner and noticed a coffee cup had grown its own little town of blue mold. The behind the scenes of the tourist center was definitely not as impressive as the lobby.
Do you have many supplies left?
Becca asked, and Mateo shook his head.
We're running low, he said. At least with just two of us, we go through our supplies much slower, but I would estimate we have a few weeks' worth of food left.
We have supplies on the ship, I said, and then remembered with a lurch in my stomach that Leo's ship still had the force field off. I looked over at Edhara, and the nervous twitch of her fingers by her side told me she was thinking the same thing. Still, we needed a quick escape route once we left this place,
and leaving the one ship without its force field was our only option. Besides, even if something did happen to the craft, we would still have Ihara's. There was more than enough room for Leo to ride with us, and it wasn't like we needed two ships for the mission. I decided a slightly bashed-up craft was the least of our worries, and I had no doubt that the aliens would have some ridiculously efficient repair kit if the worst did happen. Mateo pushed open yet another door in the maze of staff rooms, and there was a short, metal staircase. There was a lamp set up at the top of the steps, and it looked like it was battery-powered. "Is your electricity out?" I asked. "Not yet," Mateo said. "But we're trying not to have too much light escape from the windows. I hope the dinosaurs might all leave, since there's only two of us left."
"They're determined,"
Kat said grimly as we reached the top of the steps. The engineer led us through a set of double doors and then into a short corridor. We walked down a few doors and stopped outside a white door with a silver handle, and Mateo pulled out a small key and unlocked it. I didn't want to break it to him that his little lock would not keep out anything that wanted to get inside. It seemed like the guy had enough shit luck already, and as I followed Mateo inside, we found ourselves in a large room which seemed to be half science lab and half makeshift bedroom. The floor was a black linoleum, and there were several desks on the left side, along with piles of boxes, beakers, computers, and a small sink. The right side of the room had a small sofa, a sleeping bag on the ground with a few pillows, and a messy pile of clothes and books. There was a middle-aged woman at one of the desks, and she had wild red hair and a lab coat on. Her pale face was covered in freckles, and she leapt to her feet as we piled in. "Hi," I said with a wave. "I'm Jason. This is..."
"What the fuck are those?"
the woman screamed as she pointed at the aliens. She stumbled backward and knocked a glass beaker to the ground. The shattering sound made her jump again, and I got the impression that things had been tense for the remaining staff members.
"Hilda," Mateo warned, "don't panic. We walked up the stairwell and they didn't try to kill me, so..."
"Oh, well, that's fine then,"
Hilda said sarcastically.
"Get out. You have to leave. You're a scientist,"
Kat scoffed.
"Aren't you excited to meet an alien? Proof that we're not alone in the universe? I learned that much from the dinosaurs,"
Hilda snapped, and she stood behind an office chair as if it would protect her from the evil aliens. Ihara didn't look as upset as she used to when people reacted badly to her. She glanced at me and shrugged, and I was proud that her skin had grown slightly thicker. Leo looked absolutely uninterested in the whole interaction, too, and the stoic alien man started to wander around the room and examine items.
"Where is Machine?" he asked, and Hilda grabbed a shard of broken glass from the ground.
"Not one step closer,"
she cried as she waved the glass maniacally.
"One more step, and I'll defend myself."
Leo raised an eyebrow, and I had to stifle a laugh as I looked at the assortment of deadly weapons slung over his back.
"Hilda," Mateo said as he slumped down onto the sofa. "These are the first other people we've seen in weeks. Put down the fucking glass."
The red-haired woman glared at her colleague, but she slowly placed the shard of beaker down onto a desk.
"So," Mateo said as he rubbed his eyes, "if you could go over what the hell is happening, I would really appreciate it."
"Sure," I said. "We don't have much time here, so we'll go over the bullet points."
"Basically,"
Becca began,
"Ihara and Leo are from a race that used to fight this race of beings who lived on Mars billions of years ago."
"Mars?" Mateo asked with wide eyes. "Yeah," I said. "Then, when a signal from the Hadron Collider was picked up by Adhara's race, they thought it was the Mars colony starting up a weapon. Their species has ancestral memories, so they remembered the fight with the people on Mars. And since they inhabit several solar systems around here, they just assumed we were their old enemies when we fired up the collider."
"So the aliens decided to fight back,"
Becca said.
"And they opened the portals everywhere to send dinos through."
"But these guys got sent to scout out the Earth," I continued. "And now they know that humans never lived on Mars. And we aren't the ancient enemies that they were at war with."
"And we need to get that message back to our people stat,"
Kat added.
"Because they've got a war fleet heading here. But to do that, we need to use the Hadron Collider to get on board the mothership."
Mateo and Hilda were silent, and I heard something cry out just past the window as a large pair of wings flapped. We glanced over at the boarded-up glass, and I half expected a pterodactyl to crash through into the room. but the stifling silence in the room remained undisturbed. It was nearly a full minute before anyone spoke, and the engineer cleared his throat as he folded his hands in his lap like every professor I'd ever had.
"You sent the dinosaurs?" Matteo asked. "Because you thought we were someone else?"
"Yes,"
Edhara said sadly, and she dropped her head.
"You said you have to stop the fleet," the engineer continued with a studious frown.
"What do you mean by that? Are they going to come down here with some more dinosaurs?"
"Not more dinosaurs," I clarified. "But they are planning to wipe out all of humanity with their advanced weapons and take the planet for themselves, so, yeah, we're going to have to get that Hadron Collider pronto." I realized this all might have sounded harsh to the alien race, but I really needed Matteo and Hilda on board. What better way to rile someone up than the promise of a superior race flying down to massacre us all?
"You can't go near it,"
Hilda suddenly snapped.
"The Hadron Collider is one of humanity's greatest achievements. I won't let some alien who wants us all dead mess with it."
"She's trying to save us," I barked, and my tone was harsher than I had intended. "Do you realize these scouts could have just flown back and left us all to die, but they didn't? Edhara listened to reason."
"Edhara is our friend,"
Becca agreed.
"And, Leo, of course."
The blonde shot the male alien an apologetic glance, but he didn't show any signs that he had picked up on being an afterthought. I felt impatient, and I knew we needed to get the aliens down to the Hadron Collider as soon as possible. Every second was vital, and I didn't want to waste time trying to get people to like Edhara. "Listen," I said, "I know this all sounds kind of insane, but we really need to get down there." "I would take you," Matteo said, and scruffed his greasy hair, and Hilda shot him a glare. "I can't imagine how it would help any of this, but I'm willing to believe anything these days. The only trouble is, the machine's not on."
"Not on?"
Heiwan asked.
"Why not? Can you turn it on?"
"No." Matteo sighed, and I felt a pang of anxiety in my chest. I looked over at the girls, and all of their faces had dropped. There was a horrible atmosphere as Matteo's words sank in, and I shook my head. "No," I said with finality. "No, it has to turn on, it has to. There must be something you can do. This is to save the world." "The dinosaurs did something to it," Matteo said. "I don't know how, but it shut down yesterday."
"You must know what to do,"
Cat insisted.
"I wish I could help," the engineer said. "But I'm still learning after all these years. The guy who was my boss is the only one fully trained to restart the system."
"You must have some idea,"
Becca cried.
"You said you've been here for 5 years.
"There's a lot to do here," Matteo said with an apologetic look. "Arnie worked here since the place was built in 2008. He's the guy who knows how it all works. I just worked for him."
"Well, where the fuck is he?"
Becca snapped, and she huffily crossed her arms.
"He left," Matteo said, "over a week ago. He wanted to get to the other base nearby. He had a colleague over there who he was worried about."
"We need to go there," I said. "We'll bring him back."
"I really wouldn't recommend that," Matteo said as he shook his head. "You'll die the second you step outside."
"Where's the base?" I asked as I ignored his comment. "We have the ships. We can get there."
"You can barely get a few paces out the door," the engineer argued. "I saw your guns, and they look pretty advanced. But that won't matter when 200 of those bastards decide to attack at once, I'm telling you."
"We have no other choice," I said firmly. The engineer looked at me for a moment, and then he got to his feet with a nod.
"This is real?" he asked as he glanced over at Leo. "You guys can really save us if it starts up again?"
"We can," I nodded. "We will." Matteo pushed his glasses further up his nose and gave Hilda a steely glance.
"Okay," he agreed. "Let me find the coordinates to the base."
"Thank you," I said, and the engineer started to shuffle through the notebooks that sat on the edge of one of the desks. Hilda watched us from behind her barrier of the desk and chair, and she scowled as Matteo handed me a scrap of paper.
"Here," he said. "Does your, spaceship have a mapping interface?"
"A better one than you will have,"
Leo nodded, and I couldn't help but snort with laughter. Then I folded the piece of paper carefully inside my jacket pocket and looked over at the girls. "Ready to go back out there?" I asked.
"Why not?"
Kat sighed.
"I was just thinking that we hadn't had enough danger in our plan." "It's a disgrace,"
Hilda muttered.
"Years of work being tampered with by some lilac freaks."
Haywan, Kat, and Becca erupted into arguments in response to the insult, and Adhara watched with wide eyes as the girls defended her.
"Oh, shut the fuck up, Hilda,"
Mateo finally muttered, and then he collapsed back onto the sofa and closed his eyes. "Let's go," I said, as I threw a final glare at the red-haired scientist. "We have more important people to worry about."
"Exactly,"
Becca sniffed.
"And maybe run a brush through your hair before you try and insult anyone else, bitch."
I held the door open for the girls, and we left the two CERN workers to argue as we hurried back down the stairs.
"That went less than perfectly,"
Kat said.
"Why did the main scientist guy have to go running off? Do you think he will still be alive?"
Haywan asked, and I didn't want to answer. I was still trying to go headfirst into this mission with nothing but optimism. But I couldn't help but worry about the guy's chances out in the world with that many dinos. He probably didn't have any weaponry unless he had his own gun, and scientists weren't known for their hand-to-hand combat skills. We raced back down the wooden ramp and headed into the huge lobby area.
"What if they're still out there?"
Becca hissed as we neared the entrance. "We'll have to do something to distract them," I replied, and we slowed down as we reached the door to quiet our footsteps. I slowly opened the doorway just a crack, and I could see the remaining Cosmoceratops were still in their protective stance around our ships.
"Oh, fuck," I muttered as I watched them.
There were three left, and there was a fair chance we could kill them and get into the ship without incident. However, the risk of other herd members hearing was too likely, and there was a chance 100 dinosaurs could suddenly join in the fight. That wasn't a chance we could take. The outdoor walkway around the globe was sandwiched between the building walls and the wooden planks. The path curved right around the structure, and I figured if I played my cards right and didn't get eaten, I would be able to get a good view from the back. Distraction it is, I decided. I say we fire a blaster out at a dino on the other side of the building, blow it to shit, and hopefully those horned bastards run off to investigate what the noise was.
Sounds good to me,
Kat nodded. Okay, I said. I'll make the shot, and you guys run for the ships the second the dinos start to move. If they start to move.
And you will be right behind us?
Haywan asked. Of course, I replied.
Be careful,
Adhara said.
Remember how many Omati are out there. Stay hidden.
I will, I promised. You guys just be ready to run, okay? I'll be back with you as soon as I shoot. Now, there's going to be a second when I'm exposed, right when I leave the doorway and jump out onto the walkway. The wooden planks should hide me well enough from there, but there's a chance I could be spotted when I step outside.
We'll cover you,
Kat assured me.
We'll leave the door open a crack, and if those bastards come for you, then they're dead, and we'll find a better plan.
I nodded, and Haywan grabbed the handle of the door as I swung my blaster around to my front. The Korean beauty pressed her ears against the door and then nodded at me before she quickly pulled it open. I moved through the space as quickly as I could, and leapt straight into the walkway which had a low partition before the wooden beams began. I crouched down so I was hidden by the partition as I waited to hear if anything had spotted me. Nothing moved, and it looked like I was good to go, so I cautiously straightened up and began to jog up the wooden path until I had made my way around to the other side of the dome. Then I looked out at the back of the building through the wooden planks, and a shiver ran over me as I stared out at the biggest herd I had ever seen. There were dinosaurs I had never seen before roaming everywhere. The fields that sprawled out were packed with dinos as far as the eye could see. Various screeches and roars echoed out, and the horrendous smell of dino shit hung in the air. Then I spotted a group of long-necked dinosaurs next to a tall tree. They were only about 10 feet tall and had a murky green tint to their scales. There were 6 of them in a group, and they were all laid out on the ground as other dinos mingled around them. I propped my blaster on my shoulder and steadied myself on one knee like I was proposing. If I hit the group of longnecks, they were close enough together for it to hopefully kill more than one. That should be enough chaos to distract the dinosaurs for a while, at least for enough time to get back on board the ships. There was just enough room for the blaster to fit through the wooden panels, and I carefully aimed right at the middle of the herd. Then I slowly pulled the side lever backward, took a deep breath, and I released it. The purple ball of alien plasma launched out of the open window and hurtled right at the long-necked dinosaurs. They didn't have time to do anything but twist their necks to see the explosive as it crashed right into the middle member of their herd. And then the pile of dinosaurs erupted into a cloud of fiery blood and entrails. I wanted to stay and work out how many I had killed with the shot, but I needed to run like hell. As I swung the blaster onto my back, I jumped up and began to race back down the wooden walkway as fast as I could. And I heard a thunderstorm of heavy footsteps erupting nearby, as furious roars rang out from the back of the dome. My heart was in my throat as I ran, and I raced like my ass was on fire to reach the entrance of the visitor center. A quick look out at the ships showed me that the Cosmoceratops had left the area, and it looked like my plan had worked. I clutched my sharp gun as I tore out of the walkway, and I kept my eyes on Adhara's ship as I ran onward. My feet flew over the ground as I raced to the craft, and she had already disabled the force field. A quick glance at Leo's ship showed me that it had remained unharmed, and I sprinted around to the back of Adhara's craft. Heiwan was right inside the doorway with her sharp gun clutched tightly.
"He's here!"
she yelled, and I dove into the doorway just as I heard the sound of approaching footsteps. "I'm in!" I shouted, and Adhara smacked the button to activate the force field. The gentle buzz protected the ship just in time. We watched as a Cosmoceratops appeared at the doorway and smacked straight into the force field. Its horned face was unnervingly close to us, and it screamed out as it watched me run back to the control room with Heiwan panting behind me.
"We were so worried,"
Heiwan said as she flung herself into my arms. I picked her up and kissed her full lips, and I ran a hand through her soft hair as I spun her around.
"I'm totally fine," I grinned as I gently lowered her. "Blew up a good pile of dinos. Seemed to do the trick."
"Let's get going,"
Becca said urgently.
"We don't want all of them running round here and deciding to try the door."
Adhara had already started the engine, and she quickly accelerated us up into the sky.
"The blaster did its job, then?"
Kat grinned, as we saw Leo's craft rise up beside us.
"Of course," I said. "I think it's going to take a hell of a lot more of them to make a dent in that herd, though."
"That could be arranged,"
the soldier snickered.
"So, where is the other base?"
Becca asked, and I pulled the scrap of paper from my jacket. I handed it to Adhara, and she studied it before she grabbed the receiver of the radio and sent a message to Leo.
"Let's just hope this boss guy is still there," I said. "And if he is still there, that he's still breathing."
"He bloody better be,"
Becca said.
"Why couldn't the dinos have taken Hilda instead?"
"Becca,"
Heiwan scolded, but she grinned as she said it. We followed Leo's ship as he jetted off over the green fields, and I watched hundreds of dinosaurs fly by under us. It was grim to think that there were spots of Earth that the dinosaurs had actually managed to fully claim as their own, but it sure as hell looked that way out here. Maybe there were entire towns or cities that had been completely taken over and no humans were left alive. The scientist had to be alive. I refused to consider any other alternative. The flight took us just a few minutes, but the walk would have been deadly, and we slowed down as Leo sent us a message over the radio. I peered down to see a very small building below that was basically a hut, and I was relieved to see there were no dinos in the immediate area around it. There was a large truck parked beside it, and if we landed behind it, then we would be able to get out of the ships without being spotted.
"It doesn't look like much,"
Kat said.
"Are you sure that's the right place?"
"Certain,"
Adhara nodded as she glanced at the coordinates.
"There is no chance some guy has survived in that thing all this time,"
Becca said, and her voice started to crack again.
"It is very possible he survived,"
Heiwan argued, but I knew she was just trying to reassure her friend.
"We will land behind large car,"
Adhara said,
"with back of ship to building, so we can go in fast and secret."
She quickly spun us around and then hit a button that seemed to be automatically guiding the ship down as it shifted slightly left.
"Does this thing have autopilot reverse parking?"
Becca asked, and it seemed to distract her from getting upset again.
"Yes,"
Adhara nodded.
"My ship has many features. Like I say, your technology is primitive.
we all echoed at the same time, and for a moment, we all snorted with laughter. As the ship landed, I made sure I still had my weapons ready to go, and I gripped my sharp gun tightly. Then I led the way down toward the exit and took a moment to listen carefully before I stepped through the force field. Leo was already waiting for us outside his ship, and I nodded at him as the girls jumped out behind me. The hut in the front of us was made of dark wood, and like the other base, it had wood slats covering the windows. There was a small mailbox outside, and the door looked like it was open.
"Shit,"
I whispered as I hurried toward the entrance. The door sat a few inches open, and I felt my soul leave my body as I noticed the dried bloodstains all over the front step. I didn't want to believe it. He had to be alive. I felt numb as I pushed open the doorway, and for a moment, all I could see was darkness. After a second, my eyes adjusted to the dim light, and I saw a figure slumped in the corner of the room on the floor. He was face down in a pool of his own blood, and he wasn't moving.